Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week.
Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but one who hates correction is stupid. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would make us into people who love knowledge and accept discipline. Open our eyes to see when we are wrong and humble us enough to receive correction. I also pray that you would lead our church to raise a generation of disciples that live for you and impact the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, all right, good to see you this morning. My name is Matt. I'm the minister to students. Darren's out of town, so that means we get to play a game before we start our service. Just kidding. I am so glad you're here, and it's my honor to be able to share with you this morning. We are continuing a series Darren has started talking through the book of Proverbs titled, Where Do We Go for God's Guidance? And so today, I want to specifically talk about where we go for God's guidance as it concerns raising a godly family. I want you to know I'm talking to family and parents today. However, this is not a parenting seminar today. The things I'm talking about, the principles I'm talking about today are universal. They apply to those, whether you're single, old, young, married. The key to think about is how we as families and parents, and more importantly, how we as a church can teach godly principles into the lives of children and adolescents. The key that I'm talking about today is the key of discipline. I'm not talking about raising your family like the Von Tramps, where you know, the sound of music, where you blow a whistle and make them do things. I'm not talking about, punishing your kids for everything they do wrong. The discipline I'm talking about today is the discipline on us as a church and on us as adults. The discipline that's on us for the determination and the effort to raise godly children and godly teenagers. For many, this is very hard to do because what culture tells us on how to raise a successful family is different than what the Bible teaches us in how to raise a godly family. And to raise a godly family requires the discipline on us to do the hard work to teach, to train, and to disciple young people, children, adolescents, in following Jesus. And that discipline is on us as a church and on me as a youth pastor and on our children's ministry, our preschool ministry. Years ago, I took our students to a camp, not this church, so you can be happy to know I'm not talking about anyone from here, but we went to this camp, and our high schoolers were checked into their cabin, and so I went by the high school cabin, knocked on the door, went in, and I found water all over the floor inside this cabin. And the high school students were just on their beds hanging out. I'm like, guys, what's going on in here? And they're like, oh, what's happening? Like, there's water all over the floor. Oh, yeah, there is. And that was my first suspicion that something was up, right? So I go in the bathroom, and where the stool was, the door was closed, and you could see water coming out from underneath it, and it was taped closed, locked closed, and there was a note written in notebook paper in pencil that said, out of order. It's very official. In fact, if I was to go back, I would say, hey, if you guys are going to like hide this, let me give you some pointers. So I was like, hey, you guys need to let me in here to see what's going on with this toilet. And they're like, yeah, I don't know what's happening. That note was there. And I was like, right. I go inside, and the commode is completely duct taped back together. Okay, so I'm like, all right, something's happened. Fess up. What's going on? Finally, one of the boys tells me they took firecrackers, threw them in the commode to watch them pop under the water, not thinking that it would explode the commode. The toilet exploded. Water goes everywhere. And in brilliant high school knowledge, they duct taped it back together, hoping no one would suspicion any different. So I call the parents and tell them, hey, listen, the camp has let me know this is going to be about a $500 repair. Your kids are going to have to pay for this toilet, for this commode. See, the discipline for me as a youth pastor was to involve the parents to discipline on their students, the students to have the discipline to take care of what they've done wrong. But it works all the way around. You know, the point of the story is this: raising godly kids requires discipline on our part. So the main idea I want you to walk away with today is this. Teaching our children about God requires discipline. Now, I don't talk about disciplining your kids as in punishing them. I'm talking about discipline on you to teach them the principles of God. So look at this verse again, Proverbs 12:1. Very short verse today I want to pull apart. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Now, here's the key I want us to focus on. To know discipline is to know knowledge. And to have no discipline is just being plain stupid. So if you're disciplined and you have knowledge and you are smart, then you're going to do well. And we could just end there, sermon over, we're done today, 5-minute sermon, yay! But that's not all of it, though. Here's the problem. Few people enjoy being disciplined or living as a disciplined person. In fact, you could probably take that even further. For people who live a very disciplined life, I have learned over the years as a pastor, there's still a place in their life that's still completely out of control. So this verse is actually really hard to live by. And I want you to think about this verse if we apply it to different areas of our life, being that whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. So think about your marriage. So if you want to have an awesome marriage, you're going to be disciplined to figure out what does it take to have a great marriage. If you want to have a great career, you're going to know what does it take and discipline yourself to be good at what you do for your career. But now let's apply that to your family. If you want to have a godly family, then you have to know and be disciplined to know what does it take to raise a godly family. And it takes the fortitude on you as the adults and the grandparents and aunts and uncles and family members, the energy to invest the time to train ourselves on what it takes. Your family and your children will learn to follow God because of watching you do it. They're going to learn the principles of how to live a discipled life following Jesus because you're doing it in front of them and for them and modeling it for them. There was a story of a young mom, and she was making a roast, and she was showing her young daughter on how to cook a roast, and this is how my grandmother taught my mom, and I'm going to teach you how to do it. And you take the roast, and you cut it in half, and you put the carrots here, and you put the potatoes here, and you put the broth in, and you put the seasoning in, and you cook it. And the little girl said, why do you cut the roast? And mom said, well, that's what grandma always did. And the mom thought about this more, and she thought, that's weird. I don't really know why you would cut it. So she called her mom, said, tell me again how you make a great roast. And the mom said, well, you take the roast and you cut it in half and you put the carrots and the potatoes and went through the whole thing again. And the daughter said, okay, but why do you cut the roast? And then the mom said, you know what? I'm going to call your grandmother. So she calls the grandma and she says, grandma, how do you make a great roast? Because you always, you know, cut the roast and you put the carrots and the potatoes. But why do you cut the roast? And the grandma said, because your grandpa's too cheap to buy me a big enough roast pan to put the whole roast in the oven. Even though your kids may not know why you do what you do, they will model what you do. So teaching our children about God requires discipline. So there's four things I want to show you today from Proverbs 12:1 for you to be able to apply to your life as you move forward being a disciplined home, a disciplined adult, in teaching your kids what it means to follow God. Number one is this. We need to teach ourselves and our children that discipline and knowledge go together. We need to understand the spiritual implication of and the connection of discipline and knowledge. So in 12:1 it says, Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Everyone wants to be in the know about something, right? You want to be an expert about something that's in your field. But when we want to know anything about a subject, we apply ourselves to it. And when it comes to God, somehow we get this idea in our mind that we don't really need to try, right? Like you come to church, you've been in Sunday school. Like, I know a lot about God because my grandma knew a lot about God. Well, you have to apply yourself to understand and know the things of God, the things of Scripture. And having spiritual knowledge is incredibly valuable. But to get that spiritual knowledge, it takes the discipline to learn it. It takes the discipline to understand it. When it comes to our children, our teenagers, it takes the discipline to teach it. Participating in raising a godly generation of children goes to the very core of what God has given all of us to do, from being a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a sibling, a volunteer, a teacher. God has given us all the opportunity to help raise a new godly generation of Christ followers. You could argue that the chief reason that God gave us parents and caring adults was so that they can show their children what it means to follow Jesus and share Jesus with them. You know, there is nothing that could be more important for a child to learn about the existence and the character and the nature of knowing who Jesus is. This last week, I had the opportunity to go with our church to children's camp and participate with Miss Debbie, our outgoing children's minister who's retiring soon, and Grant, our incoming children's minister, which we just saw baptize one of our middle school students. And we saw children give their hearts to the Lord. And being able to be a part of that process, that their life will never be the same, that they know Jesus in their life. So to help our children know God, it takes discipline. Look at what Deuteronomy 6:6 says. I want to read this over you. These commands I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time you sat down with a child and you talked about the things of God? As a parent, are you openly talking about what the Lord is doing in your own life? Are you currently reading in God's Word? And it really does take the discipline as us as adults to carve out that time in our home and within our families to talk about the Lord. And don't let the only time that God has talked about is when you come to church on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. This has to be a regular, daily routine that our children and our families see the impact God is making in our own lives. And again, if this overwhelms you, like I'm uncomfortable, this is hard for me, don't forget what Scripture tells us in James 1:5, that if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to him. So as a parent, God will give you the words to say. The second thing is this, to teach your kids that correction makes you smarter. That correction actually makes you smarter. The Proverbs says, but he who hates correction is stupid. Now, Darren asked me when I asked me what verse I was going to go over today. I told him this verse. He said, it's because it says the word stupid, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is. But honestly, this word translated is a word, it also comes out brutish. Now, brutish means a person who seems like more of a wild animal than a person. Brute. That if you ignore correction in your life, you're almost like a wild animal. And even secular culture recognizes the need for discipline. And you know, as a parent, there's the universal chore that we all have, and that is the task of correcting our own children. There was a survey years ago by Newsweek magazine that showed that on average, it takes a child asking for something 9 times before the parent will give in and say yes. And the article is about how kids need to really hear a no. And it's the truth. today more than ever, it's harder for parents to say the word no to their kids. Today, we try so hard to make sure our kids feel loved, and we overdo it. But did you know that the opposite of love is not hate? For a parent, the opposite of love is apathy. An apathy that we parents simply do not care enough to discipline and disciple their children. But correction makes you better. If we can teach to embrace correction, we're giving children and students the tool to help sharpen themselves and to grow spiritually. James Dobson gives a great example that as a parent, if your kids make a mistake, you should be like a football referee, that you just drop the flag and you mark off the penalty. Rather than getting in their face and screaming and yelling, referees don't do that. And you do it consistently. And that's the key. It's the consistency that we as adults must be disciplined to not break the peace of our home, but to simply have the consequences for the actions that our children make. Now, I played football in high school. I know it's a shock to you. There was this one time that the coach pulled me into the game and put me in a position. He's like, they're going to run the ball straight at you. It was the very end of the game. It was the fourth quarter. If we get them, we win. If they score, they win. And the guy came around with the ball. I had the perfect tackle. I crushed him and knocked him down on the ground. In my mind, for a split second, I thought, everyone's going to be singing my name. They're going to rename the high school after me. It's going to be glorious. And somehow, I was so excited that I did a fist bump, and I might have punched the guy in the chest while he was on the ground. And this yellow flag came flying in. And they got to move the ball up. The team scored. We lost. They immediately ripped my name off the high school. I was standing next to my dad, next to the bus. We're all loading on. I'm feeling pretty awful. And he's doing this dad thing, saying, it's okay. You get him next time. It's good. You know, you just keep working hard. Good dad stuff. And my coach came up to me, and he let me have it. Screaming, yelling, dropped a couple of profanities in front of my father, told me I would never play defense ever again, that was horrible, and walked off. Well, I turned to my dad, expecting a, man, he's so wrong, and that coach is terrible, and really, you know, in my corner. My dad just looked at me, he had his arms crossed, and he goes, bummer. Yeah, that's all I got. He understood that consequences for actions are real. Like, he understood I did that, and there was nothing he could do to fix it. The only way to fix it is I had to live through it. Yeah, I never punched a guy again, right, on the ground. You know, I read this quote this week. It said, without discipline, your child will grow up to be a selfish, miserable adult. So we are to train our children that you should actually welcome correction. And when you are confronted with an error in your life, you should be corrected. It benefits you. It makes you better. And this is really hard today. So how are your kids going to learn this? Well, they're going to learn it by watching you. When was the last time your kids saw you make a mistake and then you said, I am so sorry, please forgive me, I was wrong, and then they watched you fix it? And there was a mistake and there were consequences and your kids watched you turn it around and make it better and learn from it. That's how they see it, is by watching us do it. And it is a powerful tool that we can have. Third thing is this. To receive correction requires humility. It requires humility. The reality is that nobody really enjoys being corrected. No one enjoys that. And to be corrected requires a certain level of humility on our part. And this really has to be caught more than taught. Because we're not perfect, we will always have areas in our lives that need to be corrected. We are imperfect people. We have sin in our life. Your children are born sinful. I know it's hard to believe, but the Bible says we all have sin in our lives. And so we're always working to correct that. And we don't need to expect our kids to be perfect, but we need a model for them to welcome correction, change, and forgiveness. I love James 4:6. It says this, God opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. And we need to teach our children to do the same, to just walk in humility. The fourth thing is this. It takes spiritual discipline to prevent spiritual stupidity. I'm going to write a book with that title right there. I think that's great. But it does take spiritual discipline to prevent not knowing what it is that God wants for me. And as a parent, the one thing I want to prevent in my children is spiritual stupidity. I want my kids to know Jesus. I want my children to walk with Jesus. But culture is pulling our kids away from God. And the way we prevent this is the spiritual discipline on our part to point our kids to Christ daily, bringing those principles into our home, living by those concepts ourselves. So here are a few things you can do. Number one, read the Bible together in your home. Make the Bible the center of your home. Make time to open it up. Make time to read it together. Don't have kids? Model this for other families, that Jesus is the center of everything you do. The second thing is this, is that model what it means to be involved in a community of faith. Yeah, we want your teenagers to be involved in student ministry. We want your children to be involved in children's ministry. But the only way they're going to stay plugged in is because they see it modeled by the adults that we are plugged in, our community group. We're plugged in to a community of faith. Because it does take a village to raise a godly family. Parents, you are not on your own. It takes that community of adults that you're involved in. It takes that community that you involve your teenagers in our student ministry and our children's ministry to help guide them along the way. And the last thing is this, seek guidance from God. To seek God in everything as you parent your family, to raise them as godly disciples. You know, the one principle that I want to leave you with as we are talking about discipline and the discipline and knowledge to point to Jesus, it's really impossible to do, to be have spiritual discipline without having first the Spirit of the living God inside of you. Because to have the Holy Spirit living in you and guiding you and directing you is all the power and strength that it takes to have that discipline in your life. So let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a time that you've asked Jesus to be the forgiver of your sins? Has there been a time that you've asked Jesus to be the leader of your life? Because when you ask Jesus to come into your life, you're immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is alive in you, and that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And that self-control, you could just say, is that self-discipline empowered within you through the Holy Spirit. And maybe today, parents, that starts with you by allowing Jesus to take over and take charge of your life. Will you stand together with me? I want to pray for you. Jeff's going to come forward and lead us in another song. But I want you just to reflect on yourself, on your own self-discipline, because Jesus first is in charge of your life. And do you today need to fully surrender control to Him? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you as you have given us all the tools to raise a godly family. We thank you that you give us grace to seek forgiveness when we fail and when we need to be corrected. Jesus, today, if there's anybody listening today that needs to start brand new, may they start today by asking you for forgiveness and asking you to take charge of their life. I pray today for this generation of children and students that you will use our church, our parents, our volunteers, to disciple, to teach, and to train them to know you and to follow you. Jesus, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.